Thank you, Aaron. Well, good morning to each of you and those that have joined us in live streaming. I wish you a very blessed and an ask day, and I ask that you be, it's hard for me. I'm thankful that you've all been able to come. I know that there's been a lot of sickness among us, and those that are tuning in, I know they're being afflicted as well. But we've come that we might celebrate the birth of Christ, consider the day in which came about the Son in the flesh. Some of the things that I want to, that I was led to bring to you this morning, I hope and pray that it will make some sense. That the Spirit of the Lord will prick your hearts and give you the understanding of that momentous day and what it means to each one of us, Jesus the Christ. One of the things I want to preface is that there's two things that we know from the Word of God. One, as we consider His words that He spoke long ago and brought to us, and throughout the ages of time, we're told that we must feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. And as you continue in that thought, it is by the Spirit of God that will give us the understanding. That verse of scripture that I read was in 2 Nephi, the 14th chapter and the 4th verse. There's two gospels that I'm going to use today to bring this message. One is the Gospel of Luke, as he gave the account of to Theophilus, excuse me, friend of God. That's what that means in Greek. They don't know if he was a real person or not, but he was one who was noted for his understanding of the Word of God. But he wanted to give him a more accurate account to help him along in his belief concerning Jesus the Christ. And I like the book of Luke because of his exactness in unfolding things that you don't find in the other Gospels. He was a physician by trade. And he took particular time for exactness. The other one, it would be in the book of John, the Gospel of John. I think John, out of all the Gospels, because of his relationship with Christ, brings us, if we truly allow those words that he wrote, and allow the Spirit to help us to understand, brings us to that beautiful point that John did when we read that he leaned on the breast of Christ the day of Passover. That relationship. And so that's why I'm using those two, John being my most favorite gospel. And I would like to present some of these things and thoughts to you today. I've asked Patricia, again, when I said and I read the verses out of the Book of Mormon, feast upon the words of Christ, I'm going to have her focus on those words that are going to be up here for you to read. And she's not going to be going back and forth, so I'm sorry you're not going to see me all the time. Those who are on live streaming, because I want us truly to feast on the words that the Lord had given me to give to you and allow that Spirit to work, because there's so many good things in it for us to stay. So the first thing is the testimony. We find it in the book of John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. the same was in the beginning with God. That's a divine expression that is Christ. We remember in the book of Genesis, first chapter, 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. A plurality, one God. I know we don't fully understand it, nor will we ever, until we are before him. But we see throughout the Word of God that interplay. Even after Christ was raised from the dead, he makes that same statement, I must go. The Father has commanded me. There is a work that God himself, the Father, gave to the Son. He turned all things over to him to accomplish his will. God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In Genesis 2 and 7, we find that during the creation, he breathed the breath of life into that body of clay, and he became man, a spirit. And this is in reference to it. First John 10 through 14, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. In the book of Ether, first chapter, verses 77 through 81, there's a beautiful picture that adds to that, those words that we find here in John. Behold, I am he which was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. In me shall all mankind have life, that eternally, even they which shall believe on my name, and they shall become my sons and my daughters. An offspring from the Son of God, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and behold, and we beheld his glory, and the glory was the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I love these words, and this, even though we did not have the opportunity to be there and to see that life unfold, John does a good job to help us to bring within our hearts and our minds what they experienced. That beautiful testimony that he had of the Son of God. The Word was made flesh. Luke, in the second chapter, verses 8 through 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. I think about those words. I know us that have been able to go out and be out in the middle of a forest. I remember being up in the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. And when a very, very cold night with no clouds, the stars, everything lit up. And how beautiful that was. But can you imagine that glory that would interrupt that darkness, that brilliant light? As a young man, as a young boy, when I was in Washington State, and we were camping out behind the house And it was dark, and we were just laying there. And it was the same kind of night. We were looking at the stars. And then all of a sudden, a shooting star started from one side of the sky and stretched across the sky, and it lit up the whole area where we were at. We could see everything in all detail, like if it was day. And I think it was the same here. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." A very plain and exact account of what they would be able to see. Continuing there, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I wait for the day with expectation to be able to hear the angels sing. I've told you that before. I wait for that day. I want to hear that day. It brings me joy to even think about it. Oh, Holy Night, a special by Joel and Amy.
Yeah. in all our trials, let to be your friend. Bring all our needs. He guards us from all danger. His gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is a brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. With hymns of joy, in grateful chorus raising, let every heart adore his holy name. Christ is the Lord. We're saved and celebrating his power.
Find in Luke, the second chapter, verse 21 through 23. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Remember that covenant that was made to Abraham by God in Genesis in the 17th chapter, verses 10 to 13, but I'm going to read just a couple of them. This covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee, every man-child among you shall be circumcised. He that is born in thy house, he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh. And so it was Christ was born, and he was the seed of Abraham. Came down from heaven. John, in the sixth chapter, verses 37 through 40, and then verse 44. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I want you to take particular note in verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. For I come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. I want you to understand that last verse there where it said, the Father which has sent me. In the book of John, again, this is the reason why I love the words that John had recorded. That particular statement was made 33 times in the gospel. The Father that sent me hath sent me. Or I was sent. In the Book of Mormon, 3 Nephi 1:13, and on the morrow come I into the world to shew unto the world that I will fulfill all that which I have caused to be spoken by the mouth of my holy prophets. And I love that statement because as we read in the books of the prophets, we see that interplay between God the Father and the Son, and the Son making the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and its lineage as he worked among the children of men, bringing them out of Egypt. All those things, we can see it coming to this day that it was spoken of by John. Honored his parents. One of the reasons why I'm going down this path is I want you to understand that he experienced all these things as you and I have experienced. I want that to stick in your heart and mind, because that was the message that the Lord gave to me to give to you today. And it'll play out in these words that I'll be reading to you and bringing to you this morning. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after this custom of the feast. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. He was feasting on the words of his father and learning. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us 3 days? I can imagine a mother's heart. It was talked about this morning in our Sunday school class. All of you who are mothers, I can imagine. You lost your son for 3 days in the midst of the crowd, you know, during the feast of the Passover, which was a grand feast in Jerusalem. There were many people from all walks of life coming to observe the law of Moses. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Underline that. And was subject unto them. Honored his parents. Part of the Mosaic Law. There's a blessing that comes with that. And then Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Another one of those things you can read in, I think it's in the book of Mark, the 6th chapter, verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simeon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. We see here that he, between the ages of 12 to the time in which he began his ministry, he did that very thing, was subject unto them, and worked in the trade of his father, and kept his promise and his thoughts. Was baptized and tempted, Mark, in the first chapter, 9 through 13. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway came up out of the water. He saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There are different instances where we read where the Father speaks, and people have heard it. And I wonder how, what it would feel like if the Father would speak from heaven and we would hear it. I know he speaks to us by his Spirit, and I know how that feels when he speaks. It's a very humbling thing. It's something that shuts or hushes your thoughts and humbles you and gives you understanding. And the power that comes, and the love, and the desire of good from the Father through the Son and through his Spirit. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. A short scenario of what took place. But if you remember all those things that he experienced when Satan came and tempted him, what did he say? And this is the thing you need to remember. Remember when I started in my sermon at the beginning? We must feast upon the words that have been written for our edification, to be strengthened. Suffer that. It is written. It is written. All three times when he was sorely tempted, it is written. And that's how he combated and put Satan in his place. He was baptized. Why? He said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That was a commandment that came from his Father that he showed to the world, the path, the gate to enter into eternal life, to do the will of the Father and the Son, taught by the Father. John 5:30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. John, the 8th chapter, verse 28 through 29. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, I am he. You can't read the book of Isaiah without seeing that very statement. I am he. Throughout the prophets, Christ identified himself in that nature. I am he. And he said it to them when he was in the flesh. That all those who were familiar with the words of the prophets would understand. Or at least there would be something there that would bring to their heart and mind, wait a minute, I've heard that before. It's familiar to me. That I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Even at the age of 12, when he was doing what he was doing. And so it is for us as a lesson to do the things that the Father has commanded us to do, because it's well-pleasing. It's for us. He taught them in Luke, in the 4th chapter, verses 16 through 22, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's now going to be quoting the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, the 2nd verse. He was in Nazareth, where he was brought up. It was his custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath and to be able to read from the Word of God. That's the picture here. He opened the book before him and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The thing that we read in the book of Genesis, of living in the flesh and suffering the things within the flesh. He himself was experiencing the same things. Think about it. He was in the beginning with the Father before anything was there. He was with the Father. Eternity. Now he is in the flesh, subject to everything we are experiencing. Time, age, development as we grow, all those things. There was a purpose. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears, fulfilled in the prophecy of Isaiah. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? They could not separate Christ from who they saw and what he was trying to help them to understand who he was. God in the flesh. I would imagine that would be a pretty hard thing. But by the Spirit of God, there were those who could understand that. And rejoice in that. He did it with zeal as he taught. Matthew 21, 12 through 15. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. So what were they doing? They were taking advantage of those who were trying to fulfill the law of Moses. They had to buy the certain things for their sin offerings from these people, these money changers. And they were taking advantage of them. And it was detestable in the sight of God and Christ. And he made it very obvious. that it was not pleasing to the Lord. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So he followed up with that, overturning those things, and then he healed those that were within there when they came to do that offering. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased. It's so sad that they could not see, even with the evidence before them. And what's other interesting, in the 17th verse of that same chapter of John, they quoted Psalms, the 69th chapter of Psalms in verse 9. But verse 17 said, "And his disciples remembered that it was written, 'The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up.'" And they could see how it related, that the prophets, the prophecies of Christ, were related in the actions of Christ, bringing the two together as a testimony that he was the Son of God. That's what the Word of God will do with you, and as the Spirit works within your heart and life. They will bring those two things together to make your understanding plain and perfect before God. With compassion, Luke 19:41-44. "And when he was come near, he beheld the city," and this was Jerusalem, "as he looked over the city of Jerusalem, and he wept over it." I could imagine the labor that he spent trying to help them to understand who he was and the promise that he was bringing, and what joy and things that they could experience if they would only apply their faith and open their eyes, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." It was a warning. This took place, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. Christ saw it. He knew it was coming, and they rejected it. And he wept. It was their choice. No different than what we have today when we were given that thought, "Come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her plagues." He glorified his Father in all things. John in the 12th chapter, verse 26-32. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." Again, helping you to understand, living in the flesh and the things, from being born to coming to the day of his death, he could see those things. "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes, as a testimony that what Christ was saying and taught was of the Father, his Father." It was a testimony. In Hebrews, in the 5th chapter, you can read verses 7-9, but 8 and 9 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. That is the commandment. To believe and to follow. Was sent to die. John, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 18. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I like, you see the things that transpired in the histories in the Old Testament. How there Moses lifted that serpent up and he said, if you look upon it, you will not die. When they were bitten by serpents, you remember that? Now it's, here is Christ. If you look upon Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it, condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The gate, and he's the keeper of the gate. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Another one of those things that I think about leading up to his death and when he was hanging on the cross. In Matthew, in the 27th chapter, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember, he came in the flesh. He had been for all eternity. Now he is in the flesh. Subject to the flesh. And now he suffered death, being separated from his Father for the first time in eternity. For you and I. For those who will believe the words that he brought and taught that we have in our hands to feast upon. This was the point that the Lord wanted me to bring to you this morning. He is able. Hebrews 2, 14 through 18. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, he behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, for in that he suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor, to aid or relieve them that are tempted or fallen into temptation. Remember, I read earlier that all that the Father had given him, he would lose nothing. I want that to sink in your heart. If you made that covenant with him, through the waters of baptism, and you've applied your faith, and you get yourself tangled up in the world. Remember those words. Come back unto him with full purpose of heart, acknowledging your faults, seeking forgiveness through the blood of the Son of the Lamb of God. He is able, no matter what it is, unless you take that one step and deny him. There was only one that was lost of Christ when he was walking on this. That was Judas Iscariot. Christ does not require anything of us that he has not required of himself. Those were the thoughts when our brother put that on the text saying, I'm looking for people to preach. And I said, I'll do Sunday morning, Christmas. And I asked the Lord, what is it that you would have me to preach? And this is the words that came to my heart. Why? Because it's my own personal testimony that the words of Christ are true and faithful. There's nothing that he can't do other than if you reject him, he can do nothing for you. It's your choice. This, to succor them, I found this in Barnes' commentary. His heart is made with tenderness. His soul is filled with love. Touched with a sympathy within, he knows our feeble frame because he lived it. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. Then let our humble faith address his mercy and his power, we shall obtain delivering grace in every trying hour. The bread of life, John 6, 47 through 58. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness by an abject lesson, and are dead. There is the bread, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I'll give for the life of the world. We must be born again if we want to be called the sons of God. John 3, 3 through 8. Verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Born of the water is to follow the commandments that the Lord had showed to us, that did it himself. Entering into the waters of baptism, being washed, and in similitude, the promise of being raised from the dead for eternal life, and of the Spirit that was promised. John 14, 6, 15 through 18. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. A beautiful promise of the Spirit of God, dwelling within this tabernacle of clay, us being the temple, the new temple. The promise, 14, John 14, 23 through 27. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the words which he hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Right? I've got a couple more slides and then I will be done. Continuing in that thought with the promise, the 14th chapter, verses 23 through 27. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Forgive me, I've already read that. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That peace that comes by knowing and understanding and having that relationship of that Comforter within your life, it brings peace to your hearts. Those that you've experienced it, you can testify of that. You know. Those who haven't, I assure you, if you extend your faith and look upon Christ and follow his words, you will experience that beautiful thing. Well, this thing is goofing up on me now. I've got one more slide and it's trying to not work. Let's do this. Simeon's testimony in Luke in the second chapter, 25 through 32. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And we have a final song, Mary, Did You Know? By Joel McKenna.
This is loud enough. Tell me if it's not. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered
will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod?
When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God.
Hang on. We're having a little difficulty. Yes.
The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
The battery died. My wife asked me, did you charge that? No, it worked.
Thank you for your time. The one thing, the takeaway, I want you, when you walk out this door, is a simple thing. He is able. He is able. Believe it. He is able. May God bless you this day and the days to come.